ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة فإن صلحت صلحت سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسدت سائر عمله. We are discussing the nurs, the five nurs, and we started the discussion with the first one, that we make zikr for a prolonged period of time. And one thing also required with zikr, that we make it with walihana, with muhabbat. And inshallah, when a person makes it with muhabbat, then very, very quickly, the dhyan of Allah, the awareness of Allah, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in his heart. This is one moment where you can pour your heart every day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dhikr. And then this, under the discussion of dhikr, we also mentioned that it should be done under the supervision of a Shaykh-e-Kamil. And the reasons we gave, and we mentioned the benefit of sahbat and to have a Shaykh. One is in conformity, in fulfilling the injunctions of the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, stay with the righteous and the pious. Even if a person does not take bayat, and the bayat has been the tariqah that the mashayikh have been using from time immemorial for the islah, but at least we have a person who they make mashura with regarding the islah and their self-reformation. That is a minimum that a person should have, and that is in conformity to the instructions of Quran Kareem, Kunum as-sadiqin. Then we are discussing the benefits. One is when a person loves somebody, the Shaykh's love is only for Allah's sake, and there is no other ulterior motive for it. So Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned from a hadith Qudsi that wajabat muhabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya, that my muhabbat is compulsory for the person, for people that love one another for my sake. So immediately with the love of the Shaykh, you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will love you in return. And then one other one is love. The next part of the hadith will mutajalisina fiyya, that we sit in the majlis of the Shaykh also. One is that we express our love, but despite the opportunity, we do not sit in his majlis. So with love, the next thing is mutajalisina fiyya, to sit in the majlis of the Shaykh. Then look at the appropriate words of the hadith Mubarak, that wal mutazawirina fiyya, that you visit ziyarat. So Hazrat explains, as Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhlas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain, look, after mutajalisin, Allah has mentioned mutawazawirin. Meaning, don't just come there and sit, and now just sit permanently. The Shaykh got his own life, his private life, he has to go home, etc. Although the murid's desire would be the Shaykh be with him permanently, but you understand that he's a family person, etc. He has other dini commitments also that he has to take care of and look after. So mutazawirina fiya, visit, that means come and go, don't sit there permanently. And the other by the end, wal mutabadilina fiya, to spend also. This is a sign of your true love, because to make love, to express love is simple, but put your money where your mouth is. And even in adab of spending, we should learn that also, inshallah, that we want to give a gift. The best, Hazrat explains, is to give money, simply because maybe you think that the person has this, and probably you send this, and then there are 15 people that think the same thing like you. And now, one winter, Shaykh got 15 jackets, what is he going to do with them? So rather give him, and let him utilize how to spend best possible, which he feels. And then unfortunately at times we feel offended, that maybe we give the Shaykh something, and we find it that he has given it to hadiah to somebody else. What our mansha was to create greater love by hadiah, by creating greater love, not because they are in need. Remember that. We don't give the Shaykh because we think he is in need. We give him because of to create love and to increase this love. And we have attained that. So even if he gives it to somebody else, and to be practical, how much so many gifts and hadiah the Shaykh receives, how does he basically keep all of that? And the heart of the awliya, Allah has made such that their heart desires to spend all the time. So if they spend it on somebody else, this is part of their wilayat and part of their piety. So al-mutabadidina fiya. That was the first benefit of a Shaykh al-Kamil, at the same time to keep what the pious. Then a second very important thing is that you'll get halawat al-iman. That you'll get sweetness of iman. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentions a hadith to substantiate this point. That qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, talatun man kunna fihi, wajada bihi, bihinna halawat al-iman. If three things are found in a person, he will find the sweetness of iman. And what is the three things? Man kana Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. That Allah and His Rasul are more beloved to him than besides Allah and His Rasul. That means Allah and His Rasul becomes the most beloved, then you will have halawat iman. Then the second point, as far as our discussion is concerned, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ abdan la yuhibbuhu illa lillah. That you do not love a person but for the sake of Allah. For no dunyawi benefit, for no status, etc., no prominence, personal prominence. You only love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll find halawat al-iman. And the third point, وَمَيْ يَكْرَهُ أَيْعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْكَدَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ. That a person detests returning to kufr after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved him from kufr. So the second benefit is that you'll get halawat al-iman. Now the question is, we discuss halawat al-iman. What is this halawat al-iman? And how do you know whether you have halawat al-iman or not? So one is, the first point to see whether you've got the sweetness of iman, istildadu ta'at, that you find great enjoyment in making Allah's obedience. It is not a burden that, you know, let me just get it off my head so I can be absolved of his responsibility. The heart is inclined, like how one of those that will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, a rajul, that his heart, kalbuhu mu'allakun bil masjid, that he is always connected to the masjid. That means he's got desire for Allah ta'ala's itaat. When can the muaddin call the adhan so that I can present myself in front of my Rabb? So, istidadul ta'at. Second, itaruha ala jami'i shahwat wal mustalladhat. That he give total preference to it, over all, he give preference to itaat over all his base desires. That means much more inclination he has to itaat over his base desires. Third, وَتَحَمُّلُ الْمُشَّاقِ فِي مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He is prepared to undergo great sacrifices and difficulties in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his uppermost thought, always the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective what difficulties you have to engage in this. Fourth, تَجَرُّ الْمَرَارَاتِ فِي الْمُصِيبَاتِ. At the time of difficulty in Allah, because he's trying to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, the bitterness that come with it, he will withstand the bitterness in this regard. And the fifth, which is a very, very important point, وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَضَى. That he's happy with every decision of Allah. On one occasion, Mujaddid al-Millat, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayh, asked his Khalifa Khas, Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayh. He says, but Hazrat used to teach Shaykh Pulpuri rahmatullah alayh, Shaykh Bukhari Sharif also. He was in the Shura of Dioban as well, and he had a high regard amongst the ulama of Dioban also. So he asked him the question, that tell me Hazrat, He told Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayh, tell me, what is a maqam higher than that of ikhlas? Whereas ikhlas is a maqam that a person has to engage and try to endeavor to attain his entire life. Ulama have mentioned this is one of the last marahil, stations and stages that a person receives. One is, we think we've got ikhlas, but the reality of ikhlas is something else. So he said, Hazrat, I do not know what is a maqam higher than ikhlas, because according to his understanding, ikhlas is the last stages. So he said, there is one other maqam that is higher than that of ikhlas. And he said, that maqam is radha bil qadar, radha bil qada. To be happy under all conditions, whatever other conditions Allah Ta'ala bring upon you. And to make, to accept it. To ask for afiyat, but once the condition comes, to accept it wholeheartedly. That there is some benefit for me, and there is some goodness for me, whether I understand it at this point or not. One very effective dua in this regard. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan yubashiru qulubana. Wa yaqinan sadikan hatta na'lam annahu la yusibana illa ma qatabta lana. Wa ridan min al ma'ishati bima qasamta lana. Oh Allah, grant me such an iman that clings to my heart. That it overpowers my heart. I am governed by this iman. Imanan yubashiru qulubana. And wa yaqinan sadikan. And genuine conviction. Hatta na'lam, till we are totally aware that whatever afflicts us is from Allah Ta'ala's sides. And wa ridan min al-ma'ishati bima qasamta lana, to be totally happy with the sustenance that Allah Ta'ala has written for us. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan yubashiru qulubana wa yaqinan sadikan hatta na'lam annahu la yusibana illa ma qatabta lana wa ridan min al-ma'ishati bima qasamta lana. The dua is found in Munajat al-Maqbool. If anybody wants to learn it, check it in Munajat al-Maqbool. So the second is that you'll get halawati iman. And Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned regarding halawati iman that it is such a gift that once Allah Ta'ala gives it to a person, he will never take it back. So even make dua, when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah grant us this halawati iman. But it's a gift that Allah Ta'ala will not take back from a person. And Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullah alayhi has written, inna halawati al-iman idha dakhalat qalban, when halawati iman enters their heart, لا تخرج منه أبدا. It will never ever leave the heart. ففيه إشارة إلى بشارة حسن الخاتمة. In it is sign that you will get death on iman. So this, the from this we understand that the sohbat of the sheikh and the love of the sheikh, inshallah, will give you death on iman. Because once halawat iman comes in, the person will not be taken out. That is a sign that you will die on iman. So what benefit it is, the company of the Shaykh and the love for the Shaykh, and to love him only for Allah's sake in order to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the third in'am is that a person will have husni khatima, a good death. The fourth benefit of sohbat, that the dua, the malaika will make dua in maghfirat for a person. And will make dua that this person becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dalil Hazrat Hakim Sahib gives, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ زَائِرًا أَخَاهُ. When a person leaves his house to visit his brother. Now this is not only a brother, it is your sheikh, and a person that through which and through whom you want to get the ta'aluk and the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. زَائِرًا أَخَاهُ شَيَّاهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ كُلُّهُمْ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ. That 70,000 malaika accompany him and all make dua for him. Yusallun alayhi, one is that they make dua in maghfirat. In the explanation of Yusallun alayhi, they make dua in maghfirat for him. Wa yakulun, and they say, Rabbana, innahu wasala fiq, that he is joining for your sake. He is keeping this connection and this relationship with the sheikh, for example, for your sake. Fasilhu, then join him with you, ya Allah. So you get dua in maghfirat also. And at the same time, taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the malaika will be making dua, may Allah join him to you, because of his love for your people. And one other point, that the awliya of Allah, they are not Allah, definite. But they are not separate from Allah either. This is a point that we have to just take some time to understand, before we must understand the point. Therefore I said, they are not Allah, but they're not separate. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib gave an example to explain this. He said, one is the sun, and one is the rays of the sun. And awliya Allah means those that have got nisbat towards Allah. Their relation is very, very strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you say, one is the sun, one is the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun is not the sun, definitely. It is not the sun. And you can't have the rays without the sun. But at the same time, the rays of the sun is not separate from the sun either. Without the sun, you cannot have it. So the awliya cannot be there without Allah. But the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the fourth benefit. The fourth benefit. And make niyat of these things. Because this, when we are sitting here now, and probably we had a few niyats when we came, make all these niyats that Allah let us achieve all this for coming to spend i'tikaf with our sheikh. Then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah you will be with those that you have love for. لَوْ أَنَّ عَبْدَيْنِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ. If there are two servants that love one another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَاحِدٌ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ. One is in the east. وَالْآخَرُ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ. The other is in the west. لَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will join between them on the day of Qiyamah. يقول هذا الذي كنت تحبه فيا. This is the person you have loved for my sake. I will join you with him on the day of Qiyamah. So you'll get ma'iyat of the Shaykh on the day of Qiyamah. Because of the sohbat that we are keeping. Then the sixth benefit, that you will get the shade of the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith this comes, وَرَجُلَانْ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. In the benefit of that hadith it is mentioned that two people that love for the sake of Allah, they gather for Allah's sake and they separate for Allah's sake. In the hadith where the seven groups of people will get the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One we mentioned already, the person whose heart is permanently connected to the masjid. The other is those individuals that love for Allah's sake. They get together for Allah's sake and they separate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Then, the seventh benefit of the sohbat of the sheikh and coming in the company of the sheikh, that there will be ikram for such a person, there will be love for such a person. Hazrat mentioned, jo log Allah walo se Allah ki nisbat se muhabbat rakhte hain. Those that love the people of Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur unka ikram karte hain and they honor them. Wo darasal Allah ta'ala hi ki muhabbat aur Allah ta'ala hi ka ikram hai. In reality they are making muhabbat of Allah and they are honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The honoring of the awliya is the honoring of Allah himself. Like for example, jis tarah kisi ki aulaad se muhabbat karna aur ikram karna, uske baap ki muhabbat aur ikram mein shamil samjha jata hai. Like how you love some children, etc., will be written in making, having love for the parents, the father of the child, and honoring the child is the honoring of the father also. And man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah loves him. And then also, that when a person loves one for the sake of Allah, Allah honors that person also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man ahabba, ma ahabba abdun abdan. No servant loves another servant, lillah, for the sake of Allah. Illa akrama Allahu rabba azza wa jal, but Allah will honor that person. So in that you will get the honor also. Through the barakat of the shaykh, Allah ta'ala will give you honor also. Ma ahabba abdun abdan illa lillah, ma ahabba abdun abdan lillah, illa akrama Allahu rabba azza wa jal. Then Hazrat has mentioned, the eighth benefit of the sohbat, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that very, very quickly you'll become pious. This is one very, very fast way of becoming pious. Because the hadith says, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili, falyandur ahadukum may yukhalil. A person will be on the deen of his beloved, of his friend. So look as to whose company you keep. So you will become on the deen of the sheikh very, very soon. And what is the sign? كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. They remained in the company of the pious. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, in the explanation of this ayat, poses a question. That we say you must remain in the pious, or the company of the pious. How long must you remain in the company? But that's the question. We just explained that مُتَجَالِ سِينَ فِيَا, you should sit in the company, وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَا, and you should visit. Not permanent, but visit. But how long should the sohbat be? And remember when that egg, Hazrat explains, after their hand sits on the egg for 21 days consecutive. It doesn't leave that place at all. Then with the warmth, life comes into this egg. In the same way, when a person sits in the company of the sheikh, for a protected period of time, in our case, 40 days, inshallah, life will come within you. Spiritual life. Make niyat of the spiritual life to come within you. So within then, after 21 days, that the egg will hatch. So Mullah Ali Qari Allah Ma'arusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali posed the question. And then he answered the question himself. How long should you remain with the pious? Khalituhum litakunu mithlahum. Khalituhum litakunu mithlahum. Then engage with them and stay with them till you become like them. And the first sign is that your zahir, your appearance will be in their form. Then your speech will become like the sheikh. That means the subject matter and the mazameen and the subject that he talks about and discusses will become your subject. And then the third point will be that eventually out of these two outward things, that is the outward appearance as well as the speech, then eventually, inshallah, the inside will become the same. Just to digress lightly, therefore also, nisbat is a very important thing. Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say, show your allegiance. Some of us, we have a reservation of wearing the Khanqah top. And if the first time we put it on also was great difficulty. But now we know that people are going to label us, etc. There's no harm. A person that supports a soccer side, he walks around with it everywhere. Nobody has a problem. They come out the masjid to show, specifically. Check Sunday is the hard time. You can read all the, you know, all the sites. You just have to check the people's keepers. What they're wearing. They don't have no problem with it. They've got allegiance. And they show their allegiance. But we have got some form of reservation. So, خَالِتُوهُمْ لِتَكُونَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Even their dressing, etc. The type of kurta they wear, to wear that type of kurta. Because of muhabbat. We can have discussion, that's enough discussion as to what type of kurta should we wear. But you're basic because of love to wear what the sheikh wears. To wear the topi that he wears. And the attire that he wears. Then inshallah with that will come the speech. And eventually if you carry on with muhabbat and aqidat, following the advisors, eventually the heart will become like that of the sheikh also inshallah. That was the eighth benefit. Then the ninth benefit, which is the cherry on the top. Ma'iyat in Jannat will be with the Shaykh also. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, what's the dalil? Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, a person will be with whom he loves. And look at the Sahaba, how they enjoyed this hadith. We heard this hadith, what was the thought that came to our mind? And Sahaba were ecstatic when they heard these words from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself says, that when I heard this words from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the second most pleasing day of my life. The first day was the day when I accepted Islam and Iman. There could be no greater day than that. And the second is when I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying these words, that al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. Hamara kaam ban gaya. He knew that our work is done now. Because we know we've got love for the Rasul. And we've got love for the Rasul, we'll get his ma'iyat in Jannat. We'll get his ma'iyat in Jannat. In fact, immediately Hazrat Anas bin Malik mentioned after that, I said softly, Inni uhibbu Muhammad wa Aba Bakr wa Umar. I love Muhammad, Abu Bakr and Umar. Wa in lam akun mithlahum. Even though I'm not like them. But I got love for them. So the ma'iyat of the Shaykh will be also in Jannah. Then the ninth benefit. Was that the ninth benefit? The tenth benefit, that a person will be on pillars of light on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that al-mutahabbuna fi jalali, that Allah ta'ala says that those that love another because of my grandeur, etc., lahum manabiru min nur, they will have pulpits of light on the day of Qiyamah. So, inshallah, even if we haven't made these intentions while we are sitting here, that all these benefits to attain through our coming here for itikaf. One is with our Islam, ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of our love that we have for the Shaykh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all these benefits. So we're discussing making dhikr under the supervision of a Shaykh Iqami. And this also, that first make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that we will get purity of heart. Once we have purity of heart, our concentration in salat will increase tremendously. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, dalil for that, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِقَالَ وَسِقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Everything has a polish, and the polish of the heart is the dhikr of Allah. When the heart is not polished, is not clean, how are you going to attain concentration and devotion? Because concentration and devotion has got to do with the kayfiyat, the condition of the heart. It comes from the heart. When that islah has not been made, and the way to make islah is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaha ek mughalata aam taur par paya jata hai, ke baad ahbab kalb ki islah ke liye dhikrullah ke bajaye zahiri amal ki islah par zor dete hain. He says there's one misconception and misunderstanding and error that people engage in generally, that for the reformation of their heart, people give the teachings and that of other zahir amal. When you haven't, your heart is not made as yet, it's not going to make a difference with more and more amal. Many times we also say that, for example, in order to gain concentration in salat, you must read long, long lafil salat. Now, sometimes we mention it in our bayanat also. But just think about it, truly. When you can't concentrate for 5 minutes, how are you going to concentrate for 15 minutes? You're having difficulty in concentrating in 3 minutes. Now you say, in order to increase concentration in our salat, we have to read long rakat nafal salat. What is that we have to rectify the heart first. And that will be done with the dhikr of Allah, but provided with muhabbat of Allah, with azmat of Allah, and at the same time, with love. Make the dhikr of Allah in a short period of time, you will see how the rectification of the heart will come. Halanki faraid ke alawa pehle kalb ki islah ka fikr daruri hai. Because besides faraid, obviously first the farz will come into place, and this is the way of reaching the qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of Qudsi, Nabi Allah ta'ala has mentioned this, that your taqarrub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be first and foremost attained by fulfilling the faraid. So there is no question. Even islah ala tartibun nabawi, on the tartib of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to have the faraid first in place. In fact, Mawlana Abdullah Pulpuri was here 2 years ago. And he mentioned this should not be a misunderstanding on the muridin and those salihs that are walking the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you can't attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the prescription given by the fuqaha. The fuqaha have mentioned this is fard, this is wajib, this is sunnat, to keep that in mind. So without the teachings of the fuqaha, you cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have said these activities are fard. So to bring that first and foremost in your life. And then the wajibat, the sunnah, the mustahabat, etc. Otherwise a person will be sitting with his tasbih, and according to his understanding, reading the fazail of tasbih, at the time of salat will be making his adhkar. That will not be getting qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah require now? What is compulsory at this moment in my life? There is the first salat, and it is wajib to read salat according to the Hanafi Maslak, with salat in congregation. So that is the requirement. So this is very, very important. The faraiz ke alawa pehle kalb ki islah ka fikr daruri hai. And then a person should not take the argument the other way, that first I'm waiting for the reformation of my heart, and inshallah when my heart gets clean, then I will read salat. Some people say that. Like many times, unfortunately, people have got this misconception that although Hajj is fard, but I'm not clean enough to go. The idea of going to Hajj is to cleanse yourself. What is the idea of Hajj? That by the end, when you're leaving and you're making Hajjatul Wada, when you're making your last tawaf wada, and you kiss Hajar al-Aswad, then it will basically give glad tidings and a person will return like the day his mother gave birth to him. And it will give testimony for you on the day of Qiyamah, the Hajar al-Aswad. So the whole process of Salat is to purify you. The process of fasting is to purify you. The process, you can't have a thing without the utensil itself. So the utensil for these things, for these izhar of ikhlas, etc., is amal. So the argument would be foolish to say that first I'm waiting for my self-reformation to take place, my islah to take place, then I will engage. The faraiz has to be in its place, and after the faraiz, a person should pay particular attention to islah of the inside. حالانکہ فرائض کے علاوہ پہلے قلب کی اصلاح کا فکر ضروری ہے کیونکہ حدیث پاک میں قلب کی اصلاح کو اعمال کی اصلاح کا ذریعہ فرمایا گیا ہے. But the hadith itself states that the amal will be rectified with the rectification of the heart. إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُدْغَى, that indeed in the body there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلَهُ الْجَسُدُ كُلُّ, when this is proper, intact, rectified, correct, then the body will be correct. So that was the first point, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah make niyat also while we are sitting here, that inshallah not a day will pass in my life where I do not dedicate some time for the dhikr of Allah. And the best is in the environment of the masjid, while you are in the masjid, for the ulama ikram that are here also, that make tashkil, that inshallah in all the masajids, to establish the halqas of dhikr. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, in that old age of his, if he had become blind. And this was his one fikr. Even that last safar that he made to Stenga, to South Africa, was this thought of establishing the halkas and the gatherings of zikr. So if a, and then Hazrat gives mashura in this regard, they do it outside the boundary of the masajid, of the masjid, so there is no objections, etc., in the tartib of dhikr, etc. So it is completely outside. If there is a room that is separate from the masjid, to make it there, etc. And the one big advantage of that is that if you initiate it, you will become pavan and you will become regular on the dhikr yourself. But now if you initiate it and you start the whole thing and you're not there the following day, everyone will ask where you were. On one occasion, as I mentioned to us, regarding even tafsir of Quran Karim. He says, one is, mashallah, there is so much benefit in tafsir of Quran Karim. A pillar of nur right to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. And there will be so much benefit for oneself and for the gathering. But he says that even the minimum benefit of doing tafsir after Fajr Salat is that your Fajr Salat or Jamaat will get corrected. Because the day when you're not there also, everybody will look around. There's where's the person conducting the tafsir lessons. So even the whole community becomes aware whether you are there or you're not in the town or you're out of town. So it says minimum benefit, forget the other benefits, is your Fajr Salat will be proper. So in the same way, inshallah, make this what the great benefits and the fazail of dhikr, that by initiating the halqa of dhikr, our Fajr Salat will be intact. The second point, Noor Dome. Namaz seekhne mein jo koshish aur mujahada karna hoga, اس میں نیت کو خالص کرے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کو راضی کرنے کے لیے تعمیل حکم میں اپنا نماز میں کمال پیدا کرنے کی کوشش کر رہا ہوں. So learning the salat and making sacrifice, it will be sacrifice. Even whether it will be a mental sacrifice, because we know thoughts come all the time in our salah. Probably 5 seconds do not pass without a new thought. And it's amazing how that mind works and how alert it is in salat. And where it goes, which and which countries it visits in that period of time, and which areas you are in. So, there is this mujahada all the time, because now you have to fend the thought off, and now to get back to your purpose and your direction. All this should be done solely for Allah Ta'ala's sake. There should be no ulterior motive in doing this. And to fulfill the order of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and realizing that that believer is successful who has concentration and devotion in salah. Digar koi mahviyat aur istighraq wagaira ka maqsad na ho. You should not have any ulterior motive of absorption, etc. Now this also is a point that we should understand. So first and foremost, that the niyat should be khalis for Allah, that is for Allah Ta'ala's happiness, etc. Not that my salat can be spoken about and how I perform salat, etc. And there shouldn't be the niyat of istighraq, of absorption. That is a special gift that Allah Ta'ala gives. What we are mukallaf, we are subjected to, and what we are questioned regarding is a salat of concentration. Now, because we do not know the difference, therefore many times we get fed up and we get tired because we're not reaching what we perceive concentration to be. Because we have not identified that there is a definite difference between concentration and absorption. Absorption is when you become oblivious of your surroundings. Because we hear a few ahadith or a few incidents in history, those are exceptions. Where a person, there is a fire in the house and is not aware of it because he's so absorbed in the salah. Or there is a snake around a child in the house and there is a big noise in the house and the people are trying to take the snake away out of fear, they are screaming and he's not even aware of it. Or like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, remove the spear from me or when I'm in salat. Because I'll be totally in another world completely and I'll not be aware of the pain. That is absorption. What we require is concentration. To be aware of what we are doing, bus. Whether we hear the sounds is not against concentration in salah. Even if there is a mosquito and we hear the mosquito, but we are on the subject matter that is important and what we are reading and we are aware of what we are reading and what we are doing and we are pondering lightly on the subject matter, it is sufficient. But Umar Parampuri rahmatullahi used to say that see this, the ikhlas of my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi. He said he would be engaged in his awabin salat. And visitors would come. and he would hear their footsteps. He would shorten his salat in order to host the visitors. Whereas our condition is, if somebody is watching us now, salat will go longer. Hazrat Salat used to go. So that means he was aware of his surroundings. It wasn't against concentration. That he was aware that people had come, they are removing their shoes, they are putting their shoes in the locker or wherever, or in its appropriate place, and they are walking towards the masjid. He was aware of it. So, the intention should be for concentration. And ikhlas is very, very important. This is the jan of al-amal. Innamal amalu bin niyat. And this is where tasawwuf starts from. Like as I explained yesterday, that the person that came, the journalist, to ask Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, as to what is this, ye tasawwuf kya bala hai? What is this calamity tasawwuf? So the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave a very concise answer. He says, jiska shuru, innamal amalu bin niyat se hota hai. It starts with innamal amalu bin niyat, with ikhlas. And its end of tasawwuf is, antabudallah ka annaka tara, fa illam takun tara, fa innahu yarak. That the whole of tasawwuf is in these two ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To start with ikhlas and to end with sifat ihsan. To end with sifat ihsan. And then Hazrat explains the point. He says, our niyyah should be khalis for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. So he said, in one village in India, the musallis would not come for salat. And the imam used to give every Jummah bayan, a bombastic bayan on the fazail of salah. Asar time, the same thing, empty. Next Jummah, same subject matter. And we probably find that in our masajid also. That despite speaking about salah, so he thought, now I have to come with some other thought. So he said, let me put some dunyawi benefit, some worldly benefit. So probably because people are inclined naturally towards dunya, then they will come for salat. So he mentioned that a person that reads salat with me for 40 days now, all five salat, 40 days consecutively, I will give him a buffalo. So one person in the village thought that as it is, I haven't got a job. And buffalo is a expensive commodity and is a very beneficial commodity in a village, because through that you will get your milk, etc. And it can work for you in the fields. So in today's time, like a tractor or a car, a person is promising. So he thought, I'm doing nothing, let me take up the challenge. 40 days, he read Salat with Jamaat. After the 40th, on the 40th day, with the first Salat completed, he immediately came to Imam Sahib, where's my buffalo? Imam Sahib said, I only said this so that I could get you to read Salat, because I know a person that reads any amal for 40 days in a row, it will become his habit. Because it comes with the benefit of any amal that is done for 40 days, will become part of your life. So I thought, inshallah, after 40 days, night will become part of your life. You won't worry about its external benefit. So he said, I doubted from the start. Imam Sahib, you haven't even got a bicycle. You haven't got a wheelbarrow. Where are you going to give me a buffalo? Therefore, 40 days I read Salat without wuzu. Now imagine. What? So, niyat for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Niyat for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's sake. As I mentioned, also, this is why one other point, while we are sitting for itikaf, which is beneficial for us, as I mentioned, that in Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's khanka, particular attention was given for silence. That only out of total need, you came for your islah here. You haven't come for anybody else's islah. The Shaykh's responsibility is islah. It's not ours. Where, mashallah, we can be imams of masajids, etc. There, mashallah, it's our responsibility for islah there. Here, those that are in charge, inform them that maybe we find one, two things that are wrong. Now that Allah Ta'ala brought it, the subject, regarding just one, two things, inshallah, just remind me about silence, where I digress. Just one, two things to make mention, that in terms of ethical of reading Quran and Kareem, this has been brought to our notice, that many of the satis are reading loudly. One is, it's causing disturbance to others that are making a dhikr, etc. So to read in a voice that you can hear yourself, keeping in mind the others in the masjid. The second is, especially when the local satis, etc. are coming, or even the satis sitting for etikaf, sitting for nafal salah, are coming to read the sunnah salah, the nawafil salah, not to disturb them. Remember, a person in a masjid that is performing salah has got precedence, and he has got the first right compared to a person that is making tilawat. So immediately you find somebody reading sunnahs or nawafil salat in your vicinity, then read softly, the way you can hear yourself and it doesn't cause any disturbance. Then also the masala comes when you are reading loudly, the sadis are not aware that you have come across the ayat of sajda, etc. And you might be reading an ayat of sajda, so they're not aware. So then rather keep them in mind and read in a voice that you can hear yourself. And keep in mind everybody else, inshallah. Especially at the time of salat times, etc., when the local satis or other brothers are engaged in nawafil ibadah, salah. So as it mentioned, that a person that remains silent, it comes in the hadith, the mazmoon, for 40 days, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him knowledge from his side, will give him hikmat, in maladunni. This should be for Allah's sake. Then inshallah the benefit will be of ilm al-ladunni. Like for example Surah Waqia, one of its benefits is that inshallah that house that reads Surah Waqia, poverty will not come to that house. But do it for Allah's sake. That will be its natural benefit that will come with it. And as Shaykh Hamdullah Ali gave a beautiful example to elucidate this point. He says, buy a cow not for the dung. The dung will come, not because you want fertilizer, you buy a cow. Buy it for the pure things, for the milk, for the butter, etc., for the ghee. The dung is a byproduct which has to come with a cow. So you don't make niyat that I'm buying a cow for fertilizer. So in the same way, this dunyawi benefits is just like fertilizer. Wallah, in the eyes of Allah. For us, it is something very, very big. So make niyat, inshallah, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, for Allah's radha mandi. And inshallah, whatever worldly benefit is mentioned in the hadith, certainly we'll get that also. So the second point, just to conclude, that this entire mujahada of us is for Allah Ta'ala's sake, and to attain khushu and khudu that will please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we should understand the difference between absorption and concentration. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq. Subhanallah.